Three, two, one. Welcome, everybody. I got Nick Davis, who you might know from...
You might know me from formerly the Adam Carolla Show and the Water Cooler podcast that we did with all the Adam Carolla producers, but now I produce Theo Vaughn's podcast this past weekend, and my passion project is my podcast all about the Bachelor Nation franchise, which is absurd every time I say it out loud, but I host that with a couple of buddies as well.
I think you started following me on Instagram with one of those Bachelor podcast accounts.
Yeah, definitely.
And was there beef? Did one of the Bachelors have beef with that account or something like that?
Oh, I'll just start stuff as quick as possible. Like, there was actually, we were just talking about this off mic, some of the ways you can trick Instagram, and there's like auto comment and auto follow features. And there was some guy, and I don't even think he was an American version of The Bachelor. I literally think this guy was like from Bachelor Australia, and he had on some type of auto comment feature, and he commented like, cool pick or something, just completely out of context. And I was like, whoa, man, this is for authentic engagement only. Get the fuck out of here. And then so he comes back at me and he's like, and this was reading off our bio on the show's called Another Bachelor Podcast. The name is very meta because there's a lot, actually. You may be surprised to hear this. There's a lot of podcasts about The Bachelor. So we called it Another Bachelor Podcast. And in our bio, we have, and I wrote this, but I have the bad boys of The Bachelor recap podcast world, which is just an oxymoron in itself. But this guy came back after I was like, get the fuck off our page or whatever. And he's like, whoa, so sensitive. I thought you guys were the bad boys. And so I Googled this Josh Bob. And it turns out, like, he was, like, disgraced from The Bachelor because he threatened, like, one of the contestants with, like, revenge porn.
Oh,
he had naked pictures of her, and he threatened her, and this came out. And he also, before he was on the show, I guess he, like, beat the shit out of some guy in the street and left him paralyzed. And so, so I Google this right in the moment, screenshot these, put them on The Bachelor, put them on our story, and I was like, yo, man, you better check our story. And I wrote out, I was like, we ain't going nowhere, we ain't go nowhere, we can't be stopped now, because we bad boys for life. And that's what I commented, and he looked at the stories, and then he subsequently blocked us after coming to our page. So I ate that guy alive.
Dude, that was funny because I only saw the tail end, like one or two comments, and that was it. That's all I saw.
Yeah, I documented the whole thing like with screenshots and the story, and it was just, and like I said, it's a little passion project for me. We have like 2,000 people listening per week.
Nice.
Which I wasn't saying that to brag. Like that's not. I'm proud of it where we've got it because we have no names or whatever. But it's not like a money making podcast or anything. So it's just like entertainment for our, like, we have a couple hundred people who are like really passionate about it, and they seem to enjoy those type of online antics.
What do you do when the show's not on?
So it runs like 8 months out of the year.
Jeez.
Which is pretty crazy because there's a Bachelor version which runs like January to April. It takes like a month or two break. Then there's the Bachelorette, which is a woman and 30 guys, and then the favorite one is Bachelor in Paradise, which is only 6 weeks, but it's a bunch of guys and a bunch of girls that were former contestants, and they're all in Puerto Vallarta in Mexico on some resort, and chaos ensues. So it goes 8 months of the year, and now we're like, Bachelor in Paradise just ended. It won't start again until January. So we're going to like just try to pick up news from the Bachelor world, because a lot of these people try to stay relevant, and they always have shit going on and like controversy starting like in like the People tabloid world. So we're going to maybe do bi-weekly, try to cover some of that, just keep it short and keep it, because you don't want to go away for a podcast for like months at a time, because people will unsubscribe, it'll automatically unsubscribe, it'll stop loading in their feed and stuff. So you don't want to take a long break. So we're trying to keep something out. But we do have, we like still want to do our thing where we're recapping a show. Because like I said, I do it with two other guys. One is one of the producers over at Adam Carolla Studio. And another guy is just like he's like this entrepreneur who helps out with Carolla Drinks. I think he's got possibly some stake in that company and he helps out. But he's a cool guy from Boston. And all three of us do it. And But we want to keep this going. We're recapping a reality TV show because we do think what we have is like unique and like I don't know. We think we're funny. Like it could be any show. Like we're not me personally. I had never seen The Bachelor before. I was asked to do it. I was just like, yeah, sure. It's just like a vehicle. We could watch any stupid reality TV show. Actually, my buddy, he's like, we should do Nashville, the hour long drama.
Right.
That one I feel like would be a little bit harder. But we do want a spinoff. So a reality TV show that's starting next week, a new season on Bravo that I also had never watched until last week. I was just doing some research. Below Deck. It's essentially real world on a cruise ship with staff members, and they have their internal drama and shit, and then there's always like new charter guests that are paying like thousands of dollars to be on this boat. So that adds an element of drama, and we're just going to roast these people.
Dude, that's great.
Yeah, so that will be another Below Deck podcast, which makes much less sense and doesn't have as good of a ring to it.
Right. Well, how'd you know about the algorithm? What were you talking about? You said if
I definitely just I don't know. I read like all, and I listen to podcasts about podcasts. I read like the journals. One that I would recommend to anybody who's into podcasts is a thing called Hot Pod by Nick Kwa. It's a weekly thing. That he just all the news from podcasts, and just through my research over the three, four years I've worked in the industry, I definitely read that somewhere, and I noticed that one time our numbers when we went away for a little while, we came back and like the first day numbers were definitely much lower, like the automatic downloads of people who were subscribed. So I think it's like 6 weeks, 2 months or something. People will
is this on iTunes?
iTunes.
This is what you're talking about?
Yeah, iTunes / Apple Podcasts. And specifically what I'm saying is you'll still be subscribed to the podcast, but it won't automatically download to your phone. If you went to your podcast, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, right?
Yeah.
In iTunes, if you go to like one of your library or whatever where it has all the ones you're subscribed to and you click on one that you haven't seen or listened to in a while, there'll be like a little exclamation point. It'll be like, you haven't listened this while. We've stopped updating. Do you want to resume?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So YouTube kind of does that. Instagram seems like they're kind of doing that lately with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Because I'll follow somebody. Mm-hmm. I only follow people for the most part if I want to end up working with them or if I like their photos, videos, whatever it mm-hmm. is. And the more people I like, obviously it's not chronological order anymore. So they're just like, oh, he's been liking more of this person's photo. We'll just show this and it won't show anybody else's no matter how much I'm scrolling.
Oh, that's definitely a huge problem. I literally have gotten in a thing where like I'll just scroll and I'm like double tapping like everything, you know, like to make like because you do like it will only do the people that it thinks you are interested in. And it's like, I don't know, maybe someone hasn't posted in like weeks. I still want to see what they're up to and shit. It's fucked up the way they like just give me a chronological feed. Any fucking social media, man.
And yeah,
they're changing and everything. I was just reading for YouTube, so they're pretty much every menu you look at is like suggested videos by YouTube, except if you actually go to like channels page and you click on like videos. Mm-hmm. That will show all their videos and just like the most recent one first, and I think possibly for playlists as well. But I don't know if you're familiar with the H3 podcast.
Yeah.
So that Ezra guy, I was like just looking up him a bunch recently. I don't know. He's had dope guests on that are like into the kind of comedians I like recently. So I've heard of him. And then like I said, I produced Theo's podcast, and he was going to be a guest on there. But Ezra actually canceled the host of H3 just because he said he was going through some stuff. And so, and I'm not saying anything out of like telling tales out of school that I shouldn't, because I looked it up and he put out a video. He's been going through like some depression and shit.
Are you talking about Ethan?
Ethan, I'm sorry. Yeah, I called him Ezra.
I thought that was a guest you were talking about on the H3. Okay.
No, sorry. Ethan. Okay. Yeah, all that stuff was about Ethan. But he's been like depressed recently because like there was all this... I don't know. I got really deep in this rabbit hole. But when I was down this rabbit hole, I saw a video how he said he got a notification from YouTube how they were even going to start changing that last bastion of that videos page that was in chronological order, and even showing those to people in what they think you want to see. And he like made like a reaction video about it. It caused a big uproar. I don't know if that... because it hasn't been implemented thus far in YouTube, as far as I can tell. But yeah, so what I'm saying is fuck those social media and them telling me what I want to see.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Ethan has a little bit of pull over at Twitch. I was over at the H3 podcast with my buddy Joey Salads. You came over to Joey's podcast.
Oh, yeah,
once.
Nice. Joey was on H3?
Several times. He's like a running meme on that on the show.
Like, in a good way?
Well, he accepts it. Yeah, you know, yeah. He doesn't care. He's not affected.
Was he actually, like, a guest, or did they say they watched his video? Okay.
Both. So, this one was for when the hurricane hit Houston. Do you remember that? I think that was last year, right?
Yeah, 2017? Yeah.
And Joey.
Oh yeah, I remember you were down there.
Yeah. Yep. We were. I was with Joey, and we were building houses or whatever. Yeah. That was actually kind of fun. Met a lot of police officers.
Yeah, that's super dope of you, by the way.
Well, that was. I got to meet a bunch of cool police officers. That was just interesting meeting different people down there. But it was a fundraiser H3 was doing for the victims. You know, that whole thing. And Joey's, once they hit like $70,000 in donations or something like that around there, Joey was going to get pepper sprayed in the face by Justin Roiland, who's the co-creator of Rick and Morty.
Okay.
So we went outside, Joey got pepper sprayed, then we came back in. That was an interesting night because I had to take care of Joey because he couldn't really see the rest of the night because he was blinded from the pepper spray. But yeah, I've been over there. I still talk to Ian, who used to be the intern over at H3.
Okay.
We went to an escape room, and I want to apologize to him because probably the worst escape room I took anybody to, so I apologize
to
him.
And take this man at his word, because Scott is, from everything I've seen online, is an escape room connoisseur.
Yeah.
Do you watch Always Sunny?
Yeah.
Yeah, their new season comes out for the listeners, and one of their most recent episodes was lampooning escape rooms. And
Is it really?
Oh, you haven't seen new season? Yeah, there's been like three episodes of new season, and yeah, they do an escape room in Dennis and Mac's apartment. I won't tell you anymore, but it's awesome.
Okay, yeah.
Predictably.
Yeah. I saw part of one episode, and that's where Mac gets super ripped, and I didn't end up finishing it, but yeah, that was so fun, and everyone goes, all right.
Yeah. This is all over the place, but man, I get Glenn Howerton, and he's Rob McElhenney. He has to be one of the most disciplined individuals in the world. The way he got all fat, he got fucking jacked, like... He's like Christian Bale, his transformations.
Yeah, and he does it all in the name of comedy and no awards.
Yeah, it's amazing. Dude, I would respect him the most if he lost all the muscle and got like emaciated, skinny.
Oh, I know. Like in The Machinist, Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's. I love that guy.
Me too.
I love that show.
Me too.
I don't care for the later seasons as much. I like 1 through 7. Those are my favorite, and then I can kind of see a gradual... They're doing, I think, too much of a parody for me.
Totally. They're like, yeah, they're so, they just become more and more caricatures. Where in the beginning of it, there were like these subtle bursts you'd see of their maniacal nature and shit. But yeah, totally. Now it's just all on the table. Like, Dennis is a fucking sociopath. Max gay.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's all very, very clear. So I completely agree. But I still enjoy it. And like, they touch on like... They're like South Park, the way their episodes hit, like, what's going on in the nation right now, the way they make fun of it. So, like, and they're always just so on point.
I was going to ask you, because I was thinking Always Sunny, something kind of random that you did. We're from the same area. I don't know if I said that in the beginning.
I don't think you did, yeah.
We're from the same area in Wisconsin, which I thought was incredibly random because I came to the Adam Carolla podcast just with a comedian... associate that I knew at the time, and I met Nick, and he goes, oh, I'm from this area. I go, what? This is so random.
Yeah, why did they even mention it?
I don't know. Yeah. And you told me that you lived in your vehicle when you moved to Los Angeles. Yeah. Was that when you first moved out here?
Yeah, it was like, I didn't fall on hard times necessarily. I was in Minnesota working like a pretty regular 9-to-5 where, I mean, it wasn't great money, but it was like an okay job out of college. But I was just bored, and like I really like fell in love with like podcasting, and I had always loved comedy and stuff. So like I was like, I don't know, I'm just gonna make a go at it. And I actually like a month prior to this, like, this was September 2014. I had, like, I really started to get the idea that I just thought podcasting was going to be the next huge and, like, a growing industry and something you could easily get into now but could be way bigger. And so I started emailing, like, all these networks, like Podcast One and Mid-Roll and stuff, like, just emailing me, like, I think I love the industry, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I just kept getting antsier and antsier, and a month later, I literally just quit my job. I got an LA Fitness membership, I drove in my 2006 Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel that had literally 286,000 miles when I left. Those diesels will go forever, though. But drove out here, stopped in Denver because I have a bunch of friends from Wisconsin that have lived out there.
Spent
a couple days. Everybody moved to Colorado.
Right?
It's fucking crazy. Spent a couple days there, continued on to L.A. I had one buddy out here who said he could, like, kind of hook me up with a part-time job right away. And that turned out to be, like, really iffy with the hours and stuff. But, yeah, so I did not have a place to stay, and I just stayed in my car. I knew I had a couple contacts out here where I could always, if, like, it wasn't working out, I could hit them up and crash on the couch. But I never wanted to, like use those early. I never knew, like, but it, honestly, it was pretty fucking easy to live in my car. Like, I had my gym membership, so I could go shower, do all that shit whenever. And then a lot of time spent at, and for some reason, like, I stayed, like, I guess part of it was my part-time job was out there, but I stayed, like, in the Pasadena area a lot. I would visit, like, LA, and I would check out, like, stuff on my own, and when I'm, like, was job hunting and stuff. But I stayed in Pasadena, and I spent a lot of time at the library and a lot of time at McDonald's, because McDonald's, this one specific McDonald's had an outlet, so I could charge the laptop, and McDonald's have free Wi-Fi. I literally had this, like, idea, and maybe I'll still do it one day. I just thought it, like a homeless person's, like, survival guide type thing. Like, if you tried to do that and write it, because, like, I felt like I had it down to a T, man.
Dude, that's so awesome. I had a buddy that did that. I was telling you about him before the show. But I think you actually hunted for a job that you were passionate about.
You mentioned your friend, and did he have, like, goals to do stuff?
No, he changed. He went to what was the college in La Crosse?
UWL or Viterbo? WTC. Those are the three.
One of those I can't remember. He was in different classes, different majors every year. He started with liberal arts, and then he wanted to draw, and then he wanted to be an actor, then a stand-up comedian. He just changed his mind a couple of times, you know, six times. But then he wanted to move out here. You know, we were best friends, and he's like, "Yeah, let's. I'm gonna do stand-up, and you're gonna film. We're gonna film skits together, and all this stuff." And anyway, he moved back to the Midwest.
Oh, word.
But yeah, that's cool. So did you go to school for?
No, I went to school with. Completely unrelated, and I didn't finish my degree. So I went to University of Minnesota after. I was like, I don't know. I was what I considered, like, smart for high school and shit, but, like, bad student type, just one of those classic.
Right.
Like, the only reason I got into University of Minnesota is because, like, I did really well on my ACT, but it was, like, it was the only school I applied to, and I had, like, a 2.8 GPA in high school. And initially, it was the only school I applied to, and I was on the wait list. And I was like, fuck. And then so when I was on the wait list, I applied to University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. And I even got in there, had a roommate assigned, everything. And then in August, I got accepted to University of Minnesota, and I went there instead. And then so, like, I'm working full time as I'm in school the whole time. And then so a couple of semesters, I was, like, not quite full time or whatever. So, like, fell behind, had to go that fifth year, and the summer before my fifth year, I started playing And I'd always kind of dabbled in it, but my freshman year roommate became a professional poker player. He won a tournament one time that was online poker. He won a tournament that was like $180,000 at the beginning of our school year, freshman year. It was the dopest thing that happened to me, even, because like he would we didn't get service in our dorm where our dorm was, and like every time he'd be like, you can just go order us whatever you want if you just like walk to some place where you get service and you can give us delivery, because he just burned through his money that he won. And so like that's kind of when I started playing online poker. Or actually, even in high school, I played a ton with my friends, and I would play like the free sites and shit. But I never really played a lot. But then summer before my fifth year senior, I played in a tournament that was, it was $1 to enter, and it was a rebuy tournament or whatever. And like they do like these guaranteed, like $10,000 guaranteed. So it was like ended up being like 4,000 people in the tournament, but then with rebuys too. So if you got knocked out, you could buy back in until a certain point in the tournament, then they cut it off. So the prize pool ends up matching usually whatever the guarantee is. Maybe sometimes it falls like a little short, so they're paying like $500, but basically it's basically evens out. But I won this tournament off $1, never lost it once or had to rebuy, and I won $4,000.
Wow.
And from that, to be honest, could have ruined my life, because I started playing I started playing poker full time, and like I definitely think I was like addicted to it, but I was winning, so it was weird. Like I was paying my bills and stuff, but like you'd get to, and I played like low level, but I still was able to like win enough to sustain, and like I basically would cash out money as if it were like a biweekly paycheck, but like you start going, and like I played tournaments. I never played cash games, and these tournaments last hours. So you start a tournament, and then you're in this tournament. You're doing really, really well, and class is about to start. So I'm not leaving this money on the table. And I started missing even more class than I generally did. And then all of a sudden I'm playing 11 hours a day just to like survive. And I'm fucking. But it's crazy, because this is when. And so if you're a professional player, you're playing multiple tables. I would play like five. Some people play like 11, 12 at a time. It's like you're just like click, 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 click.
Right.
I played five, and it gets like scientific to a point. Like you, back in the day, they would have like dashboard software that automatically registered stats on the people you're playing with, and you would sit back at the same table with people, and if people didn't have this software, like, they're fucked. Like you can, because you could easily tell an aggressive player to a non-aggressive player what they're gonna do, and so I was definitely winning. But like I said, playing way too many hours and really not making like a lot of money. I was making like what you'd make if you're freaking working overtime at a McDonald's or something. You know,
right.
Like $35,000, and in like 9 months, I made like maybe $29,000. But like completely failed all my classes that first semester of fifth year. Like re-enrolled second semester, but then ended up not going. And then so February of this was 2011 now. I had been playing for about a year, fucked up that whole first semester. This is second semester, enrolled, but like also didn't start going. And they had a thing called, it might have been April, February, but they had a thing in the online poker world known as Black Friday, where the feds seized all these sites. You tried to log in and you couldn't. And like professional poker players lost like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Cause wow. They had
in there. I never kept a big bankroll in the thing. I would keep like enough to play with, cause I was constantly cashing out, cause I needed the money to survive. So I lost like $1,500, but I couldn't play poker anymore. So I had no income. I'm like getting behind on rent. But the silver lining of all this was, when I was playing, that's when I really got into podcasts. Like I'm listening 11 hours a day, and it's mindless. Like I just have a podcast after podcast. I listen to WTF. I listen to Adam Carolla Show. I listen to Greg Fitzsimmons podcast. Like all of them, fantasy sports ones. Bill Simmons was a big one, and that's like when I got super intense into it. And then I got a retail job at Sports Authority. Worked there for like a year or two. Then I eventually got this job for a guy that was like, he was an internet entrepreneur. He was importing like MMA sporting goods equipment and selling it online. And he started to do really well with specifically boxing hand wraps and MMA hand wraps. And, like, number one, like, still to this day, he's killing it. Like, if you go to Amazon, you turn to hand wraps, he's going to be second or third result or something. And so he kind of blew up that, and we're shipping. And I was his first employee he hired. And, like, we started doing really well. He's still building, like, a real business. And on top of, like, just managing his online stores and stuff, we started doing, like, wholesaling to gyms and private labeling their logo on. And so I was doing sales, and but eventually got to a point where, like, he probably honestly gave me too much, like, info about the company, I guess, as the first employee. I had access to everything, like QuickBooks, and I just knew how much money he was making and how much work I felt like I was doing. And I just kept, like, I didn't keep, actually, like, it was always, like, intervals. I'd be like, I'm going to wait 3 months and then ask. But, like, it got to a point where I'm like, I should be making X amount, and he just didn't want to do it. I was like, if you don't want to do that, then I need, like, a commission or something. And he didn't want to do that. And that's, like, right when I was getting really antsy about the podcast shit, and I was emailing and stuff. And, yeah, I quit that job, and then I drove out here.
Dude, you're a go-getter. That's great.
It's crazy to say it all out loud like that, but that was – what a fucking
– well, at what point did you start working at Adam Carolla? Did you apply before you left?
No. So, well,
did you come out here with a plan, knowing that you're going to apply? Yeah, to
my thing with the podcast was, I thought, because like I said, I was doing that wholesaling account management for these gyms and shit. My idea was I could maybe get, like, a low level, like, type of sales job with one of these networks. And so that's who I was applying for, like, ad account sales or, like, talent ones. Definitely, like, I was kind of underqualified for it or whatever. But I, especially now, knowing how small podcasts won, it seemed like a corporation, but they had fucking 10 employees at the time. They're much bigger now. But so it was actually kind of realistic what I was doing. And I got people on the phone, and I got an interview at this one place who's still, like, a really big intermediary sales agency. They're called Oxford Road. I got an interview there. I thought that went amazing. I thought I was going to get that job, and they worked with, like, all these podcasts that names I recognize, like WTF and shit. It didn't work out, and so I'm working that part-time job that I said my buddy hooked me up with, and that job was actually a sick fucking job to have, like, right when you move in LA. So on productions, when they shoot at a, like, someone's house or a business, the first people that go in, they're called layout, and we would just, like, put these carpeted mats down on people's, like, floors and hardwood floors and carpets and shit, and then we would wrap the walls with corrugated cardboard, and everything we were doing was basically just so the production couldn't come in, mark up someone's house, and then have the homeowner or business owner then sue the production. Right. So we were essentially, like, an insurance, but I got to be on, like, fucking movie sets almost from day one. Usually it was a lot of commercials and shit, but, like, I was on the set of that horrible Vince Vaughn movie with Dave Franco. No one fucking saw it. It was so bad, but
I can't even think of it.
Yeah, I just gotta let it go, but it pissed me off. I can't remember that one, but I was also on, I actually saw Vince Vaughn on two different sets, that movie and then
Unfinished Business.
I missed out because there's one scene where, like, they're in a shower and there's all these naked girls, and I didn't get to go that day, and the other guys were just fucking so cocky about it. But I saw him, Vince Vaughn, on two different sets. I was on the set of True Detective 2, American Horror Story. And
really?
Yeah.
What season?
The one with Lady Gaga.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah. I didn't, like, see really anybody on that set or whatever, but I was there. And there was some other cool movie sets. So, like I said, it was a super cool job to have. The only thing about it, the layout people are, like, the lowest on the totem pole on a production set. Mm-hmm. And, like, people are fucking, they either look right past you or they're pricks to you. There's pretty much no, like, okay. Unless, like, it's just a genuine nice person, which on a lot of these fucking production sets, people are just, like,
just dicks.
Everybody just thinks their job is the most important there. Mm-hmm. And it definitely, like, was, it varied from production to production. Sometimes you'd be like, wow, everybody here is fucking cool. It's
right.
It's just like anything else. I think it just comes from, like, top down, whoever there. But so that job held me over, for a while. Like, I moved out here September 2014, had that job for a while. right around the holidays, work starts to get really slow for the, just in general for production. Right. Like it basically shuts down in December until like a week after January. It's not that drastic, but like around Christmas time, there's like nothing and it really slows down. And so like I'm getting fucking, it was $15 cash, like under the table, essentially this job. I'm getting like 15 hours a week towards December. Money's tight. Like I'm getting, and my boss at that job very quickly heard that I was like living in my car or whatever. So he actually, told me after like 6 weeks it came out, he was like, you can just stay at this, at the shop or whatever every once in a while. I eventually got way too comfortable. I had a mattress in there. I had like a cabinet, like with all my clothes at this warehouse in Pasadena. But like I said, really started to get dry around Christmas time, and I was like, wow, I'm not making fucking any progress. And I started to get really bummed out. I really close, almost moved right around the holidays. I think it was like partly being homesick and partly it was looking bleak. But the boss at that part-time job just convinced me to stay. Basically, I think he wanted me to stay because I was like one of the guys like, productions will have like weird ass call times, especially when you're the first people in. Like you'll fucking go at 2-3 in the morning, and like I would jump at any single opportunity right. to have hours. So I think that's why he wanted me around. And so I stayed, stuck it out, started to get more hours. Eventually, for a little bit, had this other job, got this other part time job for some guy who was selling like he would go find old watches at stores, repair them, and sell them on eBay. And I'd run eBay stores and stuff, so I got a little bit extra money out of that. And then around, and it was pretty slow goes. I don't know. I don't really know what happened in that, like what I was doing in that 6 months from January when I decided I was going to stay. And then June is when I got an internship at Adam Carolla. And it was just, I listened to the show every day. They said one day they were looking for an intern. Their intern was leaving. And they're like, it's got to be up and up. You got to be registered in school, blah, 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 to get credit. Because, like, I guess they hadn't done it in the past. And, like, they were worried they were going to get in trouble. And so I applied. I tweeted at a bunch of people on the show. I got responses back. And actually, right when I was living in my car, I called into Adam Carolla's home improvement show. It's called Ace on the House, that he used to do with his childhood friend, Ray, who I'm ironically pretty tight with now. But I called into that show and asked him for home improvement tips for someone who's living in their car. this is like the first month I moved out there, and they got a kick out of that, and they kind of asked like what I was trying to do, but they didn't remember it at the time when I applied. Mm-hmm. But I was one of the first people that sent my resume in, got a reply back. Said I was going to be interviewing with these two guys, Matt Fondelier and Gary Smith, who were like personalities on the podcast and producers. So I like looked them up, and Matt Fondelier at that time had his own podcast called There Will Be Spoilers. And he had Gary on and like a week before, and they talked about Childish Gambino, and I listened to the whole thing. And, like the first thing I mentioned when I went in there was Childish Gambino to those two, and they fucking loved it. And another time, I had actually called in and been on the Adam Carolla show because they tweeted out, they were like, anybody who uses stamps.com for their small business, call in. We want to hear your story as like a paid ad segment. It was just super quick. Mm. And they picked me because I like work for an MMA store, and Adam Carolla is a big MMA fan. Mm-hmm. And so I got like, they talked to me for like 45 seconds on air. And I brought that up in the interview. They're like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then I name-dropped some of the people I had interviewed with, like that Oxford Road company. And so I ended up getting that internship. And, I worked for free for 3 months and started Ubering at that time, right when I got that job. I don't know why I didn't do that before, to be honest. Now thinking back.
Did you get a new vehicle?
No, it was still that Volkswagen Jetta. I don't know. Oh, I think it because it was like rusted out and shit, and you would get it inspected.
Yeah.
And I eventually had to like get it fixed. I think that might have been it. So I was Ubering at the time and like literally just around the clock because I was interning maybe 30 hours a week, and then every other waking hour I was basically driving at that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, you're a hustler. Well, that's why you got it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, what they needed an intern for, also, like I said, they said they were wanted to be up and up. You had to be enrolled in school. I enrolled in Pasadena City College, and they only had one class. I enrolled in importing exporting, but I had an email and a Pasadena City College email that I applied with and stuff. So it looked on the up and up, and very quickly it found out. It's like, okay, well, we don't give a fuck if you go. Just don't tell us you're not going. Like, you know, they right. covered their ass because I showed them enough. So that wasn't, I didn't have to go to fucking school.
Right. And,
but they hired, or they wanted an intern because Adam Carolla did two crowdfunding projects. One was to fund his independent movie Road Hard, mm-hmm. which is like a comedy about his life as a comedian on the road, or who has to go back on the road after a hit show called The Bro Show, right. parody of The Man Show. Mm-hmm. After that ends and he has to go on the road. And another one was they were sued by a patent troll who claimed they owned all of podcasting.
Right.
Just, if you're familiar with patent trolls, they're yep. just like really predatory. And so he was in two, and he crowdfunded his legal fees for that and said they weren't going to settle with his patent troll and stuff. They got all these other podcasters involved and stuff to, like, set a precedent. But both of these crowdfunding ventures, I think it was 14,000 donors combined.
Jeez.
And every single one of these people, at minimum, as a perk of donating to the crowdfunding, got a T-shirt at least.
Right.
Some more. Many paid for, like, times to sit down with Adam. Photo books of the movie, like seeing like a behind the scenes thing of the production, just all these different perks. And I guess they had some dude working there before who fucked everything up. Basically, T-shirts. Just one example of something that got mixed up. T-shirts got shipped just with no regard to what size people were supposed to get. They had the right amounts, but they just got shipped. Everybody got a T-shirt. So, like, if that happens, like, what? There's six sizes. Like, 40% of the people are going to get the right size, just happenstance. But everybody else is going to be like, what the fuck? And so, that, like I said, that's just one example of shit that got mixed up. So I had to go through, and they had these two email accounts set up for both of them. Hundreds and hundreds of emails, like, I didn't get this. I'm owed this. And they wanted someone to finish this project and, like, get it all cleared up, because it was, like, starting to be a really bad look. People were complaining, like,
right.
I got fucking shit stolen from. And they thought that would literally take, like, the duration of my internship. And I basically did it in, like, 2 weeks. I emailed so many people. And I was, like, good at customer service from that Meister MMA job, because, like I said, I was the only employee and we were shipping hundreds of packages at the time. So I had templates in my own files of, like, oh, you didn't receive your thing, I'm sorry to hear, like, just perfect, like, apologize right away, state the issue, like, just really knowing how to talk to these people. I settled them down. I knew Adam Carolla's humor. I was joking around with some of them, and I finished that really fast, and they were like pretty impressed, and then I got hired for absolute shit money after the end of that 3 months, but I was fucking stoked about it.
Right. Could you make a living off of it
in the beginning? I made it work. I was still Ubering at the time, so, like, that helped, but kind of once I get in the job, I ended up, like, just spending a lot of time extra, like, I it was very low salary, so working more hours didn't help, but I just, like, wanted to impress and, like, do whatever I could do, especially trying to do creatively for the show. And I don't know, I made it work. Like, I eventually, right around that time when I got the Adam Carolla position, I lived in that warehouse for, like, 6 months.
The
one in Pasadena. Yeah. I was still living in there at that time, but, like, maybe it was right around the time I started Ubering, like a month before I got that in June 2015, I started Ubering, and then I finally got into a room of my original friend who, like, got me that part-time job. They had someone move out of this, I've been living there 2 years. It's a living room, essentially. It's like almost like, it's probably 350, it's probably the size of the room we're in right now, like 350 yeah. square feet. So it's like a nice private space for myself and shit, mm-hmm. but it's still not a bedroom, and I'm still there, but $500 a month.
Wow. Yeah. In LA. People don't understand this. Yeah. People say $500 in where we're from. We go, okay, that's a nice little place here.
Yeah, totally, dude. $500. I'd have a dope one bedroom apartment at minimum.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, $500 here is, it's impossible. And like, besides just having a curtain instead of a door, like it's like being, and it's a two bedroom place. So I'm the third person. It's like living in a three bedroom, essentially. One and a half baths, not that bad.
What was your goal when you started working for Adam? Did you just want to get your foot in the door and then see where you want to go from there?
And I still almost don't have, this is like something like I think you should have like a specific goal you're going after. But I don't really, I think part of it was like, I always said I wanted to do stand up, but I never really wanted to verbalize that. Cause I think it like just sounds silly. And like, I have this feeling like, oh, everybody's out here trying to do stand up. So it's just like, I'm like, don't say it till you're doing it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I did, even like when I was living in my car, I've done like 40, 50 open mics or something, but like, when I do good, I love it. When I do bad, it like crushes me. So it's like,
right. Are you sensitive at all to other people's opinions, or
it's not really other people's opinions, but it's like when you go to these open mics and there's not a lot of people there and you don't make them laugh. It's like you just get this feeling of like, this is futile. Like, how will I ever get from this bar with seven comedians not paying attention to like the next thing? Right. Now I totally see the path how I could. I have enough connections where I could get on these like stand up comedy shows if I wanted to, but I would never want to ask until I was like comfortable enough with the thing. And it's in the back of my mind. Something I want to pursue. So I think that's why I never really knew exactly what I wanted to do, but I always wanted to be in comedy and I love the podcasting industry. So like, I just kept just nudging towards shit I did like. And that Corolla, like I said, like I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Cause I mean, he's making a ton of money and shit, but like he's got like six or seven producers.
Right.
I just did air quotes for it. Cause like, and he does have multiple shows and stuff, but he's overstaffed straight up. Like they could have survived without me, as much as that hurts my pride to say, right. But I'm very aware they could have survived without me. So like, that's why I never had leverage to really ask for more money or stuff, because like they had all these positions filled and shit. So I just like kept working, always taking on more shit for no more pay, like asking to do more stuff, and which helped me learn obviously a lot to be able to do it on my own now for Theo. But there's no goal. I also wanted to do my own podcast, which I did start there for a while. I was doing an MMA podcast. And that got kind of convoluted because, like, so Adam Carolla has a drinks company, and it's called Carolla Drinks, and, like, the people, it's all kind of the same employees. They kind of work back and forth. There are delineations, but it gets blurred because it's all in the same building and shit. So the guys from Carolla Drinks were like, oh, yeah, start this MMA podcast. It won't be on the network, but we'll sponsor it. But then when they said they were going to sponsor it, then they started making like all this request. Like one of the guys wanted his like essentially father-in-law to be on the show, who lived in Massachusetts. He's really deep in the MMA world. I love him. Tom Hafers. He's dope now. He's like a jiu-jitsu, like people know him in the Northeast for jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. But it was like, he had to call in to be on this podcast. And then we'd set up a thing where we were Skyping, so you could see each other's faces, but it was like delayed and stuff, cause like, and it just, that in itself hurt the podcast from day one, cause like, he's my co-host and we're trying to like have banter back and forth and shit, and it's just like waiting for each other to talk. I'm not telling tales out of school. You can listen to the podcast. Tom is on the East Coast, and Tom likes to drink Tito's vodka, and we'd record at like 10 p.m. West Coast time, about 1 a.m. East Coast time, and Tom got a little sloppy a couple times. We had a dope guest one time, Tate Fletcher, who was actually our very first guest.
What?
He was our very first guest on Theo Von's podcast just a couple months ago, but way before that, he had come into Adam and Drew when I worked there, and I was like, yo, I have an MMA podcast, and Tate Fletcher is one of the coolest motherfuckers I know. Look him up if you don't know anything about him. He's got crazy story. He's like a stuntman and now actor. He's been in he's actually in the two dopest action movies of 2016. He was in John Wick and The Equalizer. So he's doing well as an actor. He was old jiu-jitsu guy. He was on the Ultimate Fighter UFC show. But he's got a crazy story. And he came on, and Tom that night got really sauced, and they like immediately got off to a rocky. It's a super awkward podcast. I haven't listened to it in a while, but I honestly want to go back because like they were just like jabbing at each other. I'm like, holy shit, guys, fucking chill out. But like Tay was super cool. How like I don't know. He was just like, yeah, your boy Tom needs to lay off the sauce. I guess. but no, Tom. I fucking love that guy, Tom Havers. And then there were all other guys who like said they wanted to help out, and but they literally knew nothing about MMA, and it kind of turned into this. We're meandering. We're just bullshitting guys who people don't know. And as I tell everybody, you have to be niche. I think when you start a podcast, like or have like a specific theme. It can't be a fucking hangout.
Right.
Unless you have a name. You
know? Right. Right.
Or you're like Barstool or some shit.
Yeah. I was going to ask you what are your goals going forward from where you're at right now?
Oh man, I think I have a little bit more defined, but like, so I want to grow Theo's podcast as much as possible through like, now that we have like real sponsor money coming in, we want to put it back into the company and start really experimenting with
it. Is it just you producing or is that other guys still part of the show? Because I remember you said Theo had to kind of, I think it was Eddie Bravo or somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked you if you were hosting.
Yeah,
or
so, yeah, and that's, that guy's name's Chris Perez, and he, like, lives pretty far from L.A., and he helped out Theo for a long time listening to his voicemails and stuff, and he still helps out with some of, like, he does, like, a single mom's project, but, he works for like his family's business. They run apartments, so he like wasn't able to, and like he's really not there that much. And I'm really just producing on my own. The one thing I don't do for the podcast, and it's a godsend because it's one of the worst parts of podcasting, is guest booking. This actor, who knew, he was a fan of Theo, but they also had a mutual friend. He got in touch with Theo. His name's Gianni Paolo. He's out in New York right now. He's filming like a recurring role on Power. He's going to be in this movie, and he's been on all these like fucking tween shows. He's got like 40,000 followers, right. all fucking girls that want to fuck him. shout out to Gianni. He's going to be in a movie coming out like I think really, really early, 2019 with Octavia Spencer, and he's the second lead. Spencer is an Oscar winner for those that aren't familiar, and like this is, from what it sounds like, this is like an Oscar bait movie, so like I think his life's really gonna change. So he has this coming out and he's got this free time, but he still wants to do something creative, and he reached out to Theo, and so now he's like using all these contacts, and he just really gets the business. Like, I didn't even fucking know this, but any actor, like, their publicist and, like, management, IMDb, but then he'll go and he'll be like, oh, there was CAA, it's probably this person, and they email this person, and he's fucking good at it. I don't know, he knows how to book, essentially. Except, motherfucker, fuck. I'm so sorry. I'm just gonna actually spend the time and mute this right now, I'm sorry. Do you edit at all?
Yeah.
Word. I'll take it clean when I come back in. That's so fucking rookie of me.
Was this amateur hour?
Yeah, right. What was I saying?
Booking this guy.
Gianni is the man at booking, but just recently at his first fuck up, he put, we have Uriah Faber, the MMA fighter, coming in, and he put it on the calendar as 9/25. Which was just a couple days ago, and literally morning of, like, I'm prepping for the show thinking Uriah's coming in. Theo asked him, and we had two shows to record that day, one with Brendan Schaub. So Theo asked Gianni to push Uriah a half hour. He reached out to Uriah's people, and they're like, it's October
25th. Oh, no. Okay.
Which is really, really nothing lost except the fact that, like, I'm just bummed that he didn't come in that day. But G knows it's all love.
Okay.
He's killing it as a booker, is what I'm saying. This past weekend has dope guests coming up. Sebastian Maniscalco, Ron White, Michael Bisping, there's some really, really cool people coming.
And this guy just booked all these people.
Yeah.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Okay.
But he knows how to reach out. It does help because Theo's podcast in the last couple months has blown up. We've had, Dr. Jordan Peterson out there. He's like a...
Amazing.
He's a professor. He's been on Joe Rogan multiple times. That episode for us, I think between audio and video got a million impressions. So once you're putting up that type of numbers, people will say yes.
Yeah. How did you wrangle him?
I don't know. That was not through Gianni. I think Theo knew somebody who knew somebody, or maybe, yeah, I think Theo knew somebody who knew somebody. And then Theo has also been on Rogan multiple times. So I think when Jordan sees that,
that he's reputable.
Yeah, yeah. That Rogan's had him on, who like Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson respects Joe Rogan immensely. So if Joe Rogan's had someone on multiple times, just like we wanted Jordan, he was like, yeah, this guy's probably cool. See, he also looked at the numbers, were doing well at that point too. They've taken a leap since then, but I think that was part of it. He's all about getting his message out there. So
yeah,
the numbers and our audience, even though Jordan Peterson and Theo Von are very, very, very different people, the audiences are similar. They're like troubled young men that, like, I don't know, looking for a path in life, essentially. So,
well, if you think about it, Theo's the comedy version with less, I don't want to say wisdom, but a funnier version.
Yeah, wisdom's not the right word. I think Theo is very wise, but like, yeah, I'm just technical book smarts, essentially.
Yeah,
just the technical training that. Jordan has to like basically articulate, like you said, like a lot of the same thoughts and principles. It was so funny during that conversation. There'd be so many times like Theo's half joking, but he'll say something, and Jordan Peterson's like, "No, that's exactly right. That reminds me just of," and he'd have some academic example to back up the exact thought that Theo just is throwing out there.
Yeah, Theo just puts a funny spin on how to say it, and you know he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
What else could we talk about? Would you have any advice for someone that wants to...
Oh, one more thing. Just because I want to put this out in the universe, you guys, my goals are, since I had that job where the guy imported that MMA equipment, I started to dive in like for like marketing purposes and started watching MMA, and I really fell in love with that time. And I'm still have that gambling itch, even though I don't play poker anymore. But I bet literally on almost every UFC fight. And I've been doing that for like, I've always kind of bet a little bit, but I've bet on almost everyone for the past 6 months. I'm up like, it's so crazy. I've probably wagered $9,000, and I'm up like $240. It's a zero sum game. I'm definitely like, it's not like I know what I'm doing. I think with MMA, it's the easiest sport to gamble on because there's less variables. Like football's the worst because A, so many people gamble on it. Vegas has an exact like handle on the odds, you know, like there's no like arbitrage opportunities. But with MMA, it's one guy versus one guy. And oftentimes they'll have very specific styles. That's like a rock, paper, scissors type thing. And Vegas, they're starting to catch up a little bit, and like I'm not seeing it. I used to be like, just I'd see lines and I'd be salivating, but now they're fewer and far between where I'm like, well, that's retarded. And I actually bet a lot. And usually when I bet on every fight, I bet $20 or something. I'm basically trying to build a record of me betting on every fight, because in 2019 I want to launch like an MMA, do an MMA podcast / YouTube thing again, have it betting focused, but also I'll throw in interviews as I can get them, but it won't be the focus of the show. But I've got this whole theme like where anybody who's listening will wager like a hypothetical $1,000, and like then the person, this is, I just really like kind of put this together last night, but like anybody who's involved, like they have to submit their bets for each card. You'd wager $1,000, like on a card there's like 13 fights or something, and you have to spread that $1,000 out. If you want to bet all in one fight, cool, but like spread it out, and it's not real money, like you just have to submit it. So I'm like, okay, and whoever gets the highest for like a week, I want to do like a phone call with them and kind of like talk about their strategy, and then try to get professional gamblers on. And I wish I would have started it sooner, to be honest, because I don't know if you know this, but like sports gambling has become federally legal in the last 3 months or 4 months. It was news for like a day when it happened, but they, just like marijuana, it's now regulated on a state-by-state basis, and it's eventually going to be every single state, as soon as they figure out the taxes for it, will have, like, right. Sports gambling, you're just going to be able to go gamble online. The NBA is one of the leagues that is, like, all the leagues were, like, reluctant against it at first, but now that the NBA realizes inevitability, they're kind of embracing it. I think pretty soon you're going to have, like, an app on your phone, and you can just be, you're at a game, and there's a book there where you're just sitting at your seat, and you're gambling live. I think it's going to get to that in not that far down the road, but it's going to be legal, and it's just going to be mainstream. Like, there used to be like some announcers who would like throw out the lines during a fight or a game. They'd be like, oh, and like slyly, like, especially Al Michaels, he's renowned for this, he'll always mention the spread during Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just going to be, people are talking about it. There's a show on FS1, it's called Lock It In, I think, and it's just a gambling show. Like, I don't even know what theirs is, but there's some format where like the hosts are actually like, they put in picks, and I think they're scoring against each other or something. And one of the guys is Cousin Sal, who worked at Jimmy Kimmel, who I actually know a little bit because he would go to Adam Carolla's warehouse for Sunday football. And I asked to go to that because I had heard about that. Like, when I listened to podcasts, I would listen to Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal. They'd guess the lines every week, and then they'd talk about being at Carolla's and watching the fight. And then that was one of the first coolest things that happened to me in LA, was being at Adam's warehouse watching football with like the Jimmy Kimmel staff and shit. So I kind of know him, and like eventually I want to do this gambling thing and then like show it to like Barstool and who I know a couple people at, and or him, and like
how do you know those people?
Kevin Clancy, his name's KFC Radio or KFC like online or whatever. He was on the Carolla show one time, and we were trying to do something with Carolla drinks with them, but it turned, like, I don't know, we didn't have like the money to kind of make it happen, but like we talked just a fuck ton that day, and like we still follow each other. Theo, he's had people, and this isn't me knowing them, but it's like a connection that's gonna be made. He's had people from Barstool reach out, and they really want him on their shows, and Theo's eventually gonna plan a New York trip, and I'll go with him, and we're gonna try to get some interviews out there, and he'll do the Barstool shows, and that's when I really plan to fucking try to make some friends and rub elbows. And I'm even like, if I do make friends with him, I want to pitch, just show him our Bachelor podcast, and because like we have amazing solid reviews that just fit kind of with their MO. Like, if you read our reviews, like, these guys aren't like anything out there. They don't care about like being politically correct, blah blah blah. They say like this.
Right.
That's like my 2019 goal, is try to get some of my content on Barstool.
Okay. Do you have any advice for people that want to do this? What you're doing the producing, maybe?
Yeah. Learn as much as you can, like technical skills. Resources like lynda.com. It's just like online courses. You can learn Premiere, you can learn audio editing. Do that with your free time, and so you actually have skills when an opportunity presents itself. And also, for anybody, I learned this a couple months ago, for anybody who's in LA County offer, if you have an LA County library card, you get free Lynda courses.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I didn't know this.
This is like Lynda is like, I think $60 a month to sign up for, which is like steep, but like thousands of classes. Even if you think that's a lot and you don't have this opportunity to get it for free, I would still recommend it. But if you're in LA County, use that shit. I think that is just an insane resource that, like,
yeah,
because anybody, like inner city kids, go get themselves a library card, teach themselves fucking any skill. So I would say learn skills, technical skills. I still don't really, I've learned stuff catch as catch can to be able to put together what I have. I don't really consider myself in anything like as like audio editing or video editing, but I can put it up. I don't know really any of the technical aspects, but I can make a final product that looks good. So learn those, get really good at something, and then just fucking knock on doors, like essentially like digitally, you know, like use LinkedIn, tweet at people, just anybody you know that's doing something you like reach out and express your interest and really vocalize what you do like, I would say.
Okay. Where can people find you once again?
Yeah. All my social medias are at Real Nick Davis, and the podcast is at Another Bachelor Podcast on all the social medias as well.
Nick Davis, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.